Welcome to the podcast. I am photographer Sid Caesar.
I am designer Dave Say.
And happy Monday, January 13th, 2014.
Is it a happy Monday?
It is a, it's a slightly not as cold Monday, which is always nice.
That is nice.
Yes.
Yes. I could wear my sneakers.
Yes. You wore them yesterday, too.
I did wear them yesterday.
Yes. They make you look like a young programmer.
Really? Yeah. A hipster? I just need a beard.
You look like a hipster. A hipster programmer.
Probably only from the knees down I look like a young programmer.
I don't know. I saw them, and I was just like, shoes make you look younger. The sneakers you had on make you look...
Really? How much younger? How old did I look?
32.
32? Really? Huh. That's interesting.
I never thought about it before. We were.
What the shoes before I was wearing? What did they make me look like? When I wear those boots, what does that look like?
I don't remember. Older.
Older.
Yeah. I guess if you hit a certain age, like 30 whatever, and you still wear sneakers, then either you're trying too hard or you're a programmer of some kind. Or you're like in a hip job.
Oh. So if you're wearing sneakers as a programmer, it's like you just don't care. You just wear sneakers.
Because
that's all you've always worn.
Yeah.
And I always only eat food
that's white or flat. Look, I'm 42 and I still wear down vests.
Oh, to be 42 again.
And I go to Starbucks every morning and I'm hip with the young kids. And like, hey, has anybody gone to these up and coming musicians lately? Because I'm hip with the music scene. I don't know what it is. Sneakers make old people look young, if you want.
I wonder if their shirts that can make me look younger.
Well, you wear t-shirts, so that makes you look younger anyways.
Oh. Graphic tees?
Yep. Nerd tees.
Yeah, I need more nerd tees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the pixel one that you have.
That's
heart pixels,
cool.
But it's just a little square.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've been following that website for some time.
I love it.
It's weird how much more I resonate with, like, a geek culture, like that. I guess anything that's more, I don't know, traditional.
Do you really want any other culture? Is there any other culture you'd want to be part of? Really?
Well, I recently picked up. I'd heard about this book about geek dating. Let me see if I can find the name of it. And on Amazon, I saw there was a used copy for like $5, so I ordered it. What was it called? Geek dating. And I was expecting to be terrible. Yes. But I wanted to see it. Like, I have all these books like that, like How to Be a Manly Man, like, from Charles Heston, or like How to Be. I have that early. Do you remember Mondo 2000?
I remember the name, but I don't remember.
You know, back when being cyberpunk meant like before Billy Idol killed the whole thing.
Yes, yes.
The idea that like you're cyber and you're jacked in, and you know, like mirror shades. So I find these books kind of interesting because they're acceptable ways of stereotyping people. Right? You can't say, "Oh, that guy's Chinese," or "That guy is like African American," and therefore, you know, they have these certain properties. But that guy like is cyberpunk, so he likes mirror shades, and that's funny. We can laugh at that safely.
Cyberpunk. Remember when David Bowie kept trying to like cash in on the whole cyberpunk thing? Like,
David Bowie did, really?
Oh yeah. He was used to try to be the first at doing things on the web.
Oh, okay.
Like web stuff and website hosting, and I remember all that stuff.
Here's the book, "The Geek's Guide to Dating" by Eric Smith. And Here's the description. Boldly go where no geek has gone before.
Keep your
action figures in their original packaging. Your closets are full of officially licensed Star Wars merchandise. You're hooked on Elder Scrolls and Metal Gear. But now you've discovered an even bigger obsession. The new girl who just moved in down the hall. What's a geek to do? Take some tips from the Geek Guide to Dating. This hilarious primer is jam-packed with cheat codes, walkthroughs, and power-ups for navigating the perils and pitfalls of your love life with ease. Geeks of all ages will find answers to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything romantic. From first contact to the fellowship of the ring.
Oh, God.
And beyond.
The
dating will teach fanboys everywhere to live long and prosper. So I'm looking at this. And actually, the scary thing about it was I understood like maybe 90% of the
That should be my bio page on my website.
It probably should. And I was reading this thing, and I got every reference from it. Just about. There's a few movies I hadn't seen.
It's amazing.
But I would say it's the mainstream geek core of like game culture, maybe sci-fi, fantasy movie culture.
Yep.
And academic nerd culture. And so I'm looking at this thing, it says, I am a geek. And like,
you are?
I can't imagine, you give this book to anyone else, and they'll look at it and go, oh, this is cute. And it must be really geeky because they don't get all the references.
Mm-hmm.
But
what is it called when you get every reference?
I think it means you're in trouble, or you found the pool from which you will sip.
What's it called?
The Geek's Guide to Dating.
Is it called? Is it like subtitled The Player's Guide? Because if it's not called The Player's Guide,
no. They actually make a specific reference about. Well, there's a whole what's it called? Those people who have the handbooks for how to trick women into liking them. There's a name for this. It's right. I think it's called the player community or something like that. And so they make explicit references toward not doing that.
Cheat guide.
Yeah. Because geeks are supposed to be sweet and lovable.
Mm-hmm. Well, wasn't that what we had when we had dinner last night? Isn't that what Sarah said?
Oh, that's right. She was describing how she hunted you down.
Yes. Because I am a geek. And I did not require a player's guide.
Yeah, you're the ball around which other players gather.
I know. I was listening to how she was describing it. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that was awesome.
She's like, oh, he was great. And he had this little red car. And he had a giant Autobot sticker on the front. It looked like a Transformer. And he had this big antenna on his car. And it looked like a toy. I was like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're like a I don't know. Do you have pictures from that era? I think you showed me a picture of the car once.
I don't remember.
Do you even have a picture of the car?
I don't really remember. I've got some. It doesn't have the only pictures I have of the Geo that I had was when it was in North Carolina when I had just bought it. But I had this. It was red, and it had this giant red Autobot sticker, right on the front, right above the grill, right where the little logo, the Geo logo was. I had taken that off, and I stuck this giant Autobot. It looked like a Transformer. It was awesome. Mm. And I was like, I'm such a dork.
Yeah.
I used to have a bumper sticker that I had on there for only a little while, and then I took it off because it was too nerdy, and it said, my other car is a Klingon bird of prey.
What?
And I was like, I can't.
You're not even a Star Wars nerd.
That's Star Trek.
No, I mean Star Trek.
A little bit. I'm fossil. A little bit.
Really?
I'm not a show fan. The movies I can tolerate. But I thought it was funny because it was just my other car is a Klingon bird of prey.
Yeah.
They used to have the other ones, too. You used to be able to buy one, and it was the college stickers that you put in the back windows. Yeah. And it said Starfleet Academy, and I always thought those were kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I never got those because I wasn't that.
Yeah.
If they had a Star Wars Academy, I would have gone to that. But
is there a Star Wars Academy?
I don't know. Well, I don't know because in the first one, Luke's always talking about going off to the Academy, but he doesn't really say what Academy it was. They probably make Jedi Academy stickers.
During the rebellion days, they wouldn't have had a fixed, teaching. But it would have been a secret base or something
that. Yeah. Well, that was the whole thing. There was a deleted scene. I actually finally saw, so the Blu-ray came out, last year or year before of all the Star Wars movies. And if you buy them as this big box set, it comes with these bonus discs.
You said you would never buy that box set.
I didn't. But we were over our friend Jen and Dave. And he bought them. And he was like, so what do you want to do? And I was just like, you know what I've never seen? I've never seen, because each disc has deleted scenes from each trilogy.
Huh.
So we sat down and it was about an hour. And we watched all these deleted scenes from the original three Star Wars movies that I had never seen. All these infamous scenes of Luke talking to his buddy Biggs from the first movie. And then there was all this stuff from Empire they cut out at the beginning with all the Hoth Wampas running around inside the ice base.
Huh.
And it was great. And some of the funniest stuff was, there was one scene with all these stormtroopers, and they're all running. And as they're running, one of the stormtroopers yells out to one of the other actors that's in the stormtrooper costume. And he's like, hey, Roger! And so that was just kind of funny. There was, the thought that there was something it's the Adventures of Roger, the stormtrooper. And then they had all these scenes at the end of Jedi at the big space battle at the end of the movie. And they were doing close-ups of all these different alien costumes, flying the ships that obviously cut out. and they would have them, like, you hear this guy off camera read, say this dialogue, and then the people in the suits would repeat it back, you know, when he's just like, blaster's on full, and my shields are down, and I can't shake it, and they would repeat what he was saying, and they had one that was in this Admiral Akbar suit, and he had a helmet, and it was all Admiral Akbar-y and everything, and he was trying to say all the dialogue and stuff, and then at some point, they just kind of totally left the dialogue, and the guy off camera just starts saying things, and he's like, all this technology, and there's no men's room, and then you see this this guy in this Admiral Akbar suit, and he's like, all this technology, and there's no men's room. And then he goes, and you hear the guy go, why can't I stop drooling? And then you hear the guy in the Admiral Akbar suit, like, brings his hand up to his chin, and he's like, why can't I stop drooling? It was really, really funny.
Yeah. Was that the scene that there was, like, a female, like, rebel pilot?
Yes. Yep. Yes. So have you seen those?
No, I just heard about it.
Yeah, there was like two old ladies. There was this old lady, and she's in the pilot suit, and she's just having the worst time with the dialogue. The guy's like constantly repeating it, but she's like 65. She's like this like retired lady that's like in a cockpit, and she's just like, my shields are on stun, you know? Like, But it was pretty amazing. I was like, I was pretty excited. I have the Raiders, the Indiana Jones box set. It has a bonus disc, and it's got an hour of deleted scenes. I have yet to sit down with Sarah and watch. I've been waiting for me and Sarah to sit down and watch
it. It's for that right moment.
I have deleted scenes, like the infamous.
What would you eat? Do you prepare food before you watch the movies? Like, you have snacks, like popcorn?
Dinner. Well, yeah, it depends on. We used to, before we got really lazy, we'd eat dinner first, then we would watch a movie, and then we got really lazy and we would make dinner, and now we watch dinner. We eat dinner while we're watching
dinner in a movie.
The problem with that is that, of course, the dishes never get done.
Oh.
So, which is why we're looking at these like countertop dishwashers.
Oh,
like,
right,
the Porta ones are so gorgeous.
Yeah. I need to replace my dishwasher.
Do you?
Yeah, it's been broken for like the past 2 years.
Oh, fix it. Or get one of these little ones.
Well, I have the space for the dishwasher, so I might as well use that space.
Get it. Yeah. Get a dishwasher.
Yeah, I'm caught up on like getting the right one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's usually what we do. Like, we try to stay off the internet at night when we get home, but we watch a movie a night.
Oh, okay.
So that's pretty good. And then, because I've got a really big library of movies at home. So,
yep.
So
yep.
She'll go through and she'll pull out a couple, and then I pick from the ones that she selects, and then we take turns doing that. And then with like stuff like Netflix now, there's like all this other stuff. It's just crazy. It's crazy.
Cool. Any other geeky acquisitions? I've got a few then. There's a few geeky quests that I'm on right now.
What are my geeky acquisitions? No, I not really. Like, I came into the studio last week because Sarah's been on vacation for Christmas vacation. She just went back on Monday, so I hadn't really been in the studio.
I'm suppressing a ha ha.
Meh, meh. So I came in.
But she's making money.
Yeah, I know. I was like, not paid. Not only did she get like 19 days off, but she got like most of that was paid.
Well,
like, oh man.
Yeah.
So I came to the studio one of these days, and I got like some these Daft Punk figures, and then I got some Star Wars figures for Christmas. So I just made myself set up a light, and I took some pictures and stuff.
Yeah, look how shiny they were.
Which ones?
All of them.
All of them?
Yeah. You had a dark background with the smoke and dramatic lighting.
Yeah, I need to use the smoke machine more with my toys because it makes them look almost real.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And you helped me yesterday. Somebody gifted me. Now that I have this stupid thing, it's the greatest thing in the world. It's for backdrop papers for photographers. It's for like those big paper backdrops that people use.
Yep.
Previously, I had three rolls. I have a gray roll and a black roll and a white roll. And I've hung them from the ceiling of the studio with these pipes and string. And this thing is like this kit that you can buy, and you can hang them up on the ceiling. But there's these pulley systems on the side so that you can just lower and raise the paper as you need it, and it's the most amazing thing in the entire universe, because previously I'd have to I would hang it, but then I would roll down how much I need, and then I would have to continuously roll it up and clamp it and roll it back down when I needed it, and a lot of times I wouldn't clamp it right, and like the sides of the paper would just rip down, and it was just a mess. But now it's beautiful. Like, we got it up, and I was just like, I came in this morning and I was just like lifting paper, rolling paper, lifting paper, bring it down, lift it up. But you can see it even from here, like the angle, my roof is at a slight angle.
Yeah.
And if you look at it right now, like the chains hang down perfectly vertically, but the backdrop is kind of off kilter.
it's off about like maybe 2 or 3 degrees.
Yeah.
It looks like.
But I think it's fine. Yeah. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. If the paper just starts like creeping out one side, then maybe you had to fix it.
Yeah.
Sarah, I think it should use a wood shim.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we can just...
And we have the longer screws that we can use.
So. Yeah, and just put a block up there. But it looks it looks fine. But it's so nice. And it's so easy. I can just hide everything back there and just drop a piece of paper. It's beautiful. Yep. All these little stupid things that, you know, makes life just a little bit easier.
Yeah, yep. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been on the hunt for...
You've been bored.
Oh, yeah. I'm really super bored of everything.
Why?
Everything.
Why?
Everything boring.
Why?
I was writing about earlier this morning. I'm working on a blog post trying to sort things out. And yeah, I think in 2013, like, I had this plan. Like, I knew if I make more products and I get the e-commerce things working and, you know, I write more and I organize things and collections, like, then everything should just start working.
Right.
You know, I'll be able to live off of that and then have all this extra time to do other things that are fun.
Right.
Yeah, so it kind of worked. You know, I could see the trickle of revenue increase a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the process of it, like, I got just really tired of it. And it's weird. It's like, maybe I wanted it to work faster than it would work. Maybe I just found the idea that I was, like, kind of enslaved to this idea, kind of a demotivator. Yeah, but by the end of 2013, I was just kind of like, ugh. You know, nothing was interesting, and every time I thought of something that might be a little bit of interesting, then immediately this sense of like, oh, I can't do that because I had to finish this, would clamp down.
Oh, yeah,
or like, oh, I don't have the money to spend on this, or I have like to work on this thing first. So that just constantly would come up. Or if I had to start this thing, it's going to take 20 days to do that, if at least. And that's just a guess. It's probably going to be longer, and I need to find all these things, and I get to do all by myself, like everything else.
Right.
So it's just put me in a really cranky mood. And so I guess maybe it's maybe not bored of everything, but it seems that there's – I'm either not motivated to start it because I can't finish it right away, or you know, I just feel this weight. And it could just be I'm just bored of my own thoughts, the same thoughts all the time.
Is it like a burnout? Like, do you just need a vacation?
It might be, but I'm really bad at taking vacations.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to unravel what it is that's causing this block. And one of the initial ideas is, well, you know, it's kind of related to the vacation idea.
Yeah.
But I've constructed a very... a life in which there's very few external distractions at all. There's nothing I need to really react to because I've made everything self-contained. And so therefore, I'm just sitting in the same tepid pool of experiences all the time. So nothing happens. It's like, oh, I've got this meticulously constructed lifestyle where there's nothing really I have to do.
Yeah.
Other than like a handful of projects.
Yeah.
But that's kind of it. I suppose if I had kids, then I would have to be reacting to them all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that you don't have time to be bored then. I don't want that, I think. But I had to reintroduce some semblance of, you know, some randomness, introduce some chaos into the system.
Huh.
And then to embrace that wholeheartedly. When you think about it, like everything that's new and interesting that happens to you is through something that you haven't planned, usually.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, I ran into you by complete accident.
Right.
We were both at that mixer I forget what it was.
Yugo.
Yes, yes.
And it was like, the very first thing they did.
Yeah. To check that out and just happened to run into you. And then ran into you again at, what's the camera store? Cameraland?
Yeah. You were looking at bags.
And you recognized me.
Yep.
And then we just started talking.
Yeah.
You know, so introducing that randomness back in and having a better attitude toward it. You know, that may be one of the things that I do. And then another one is just, I'm really just dissatisfied with what I've done with my life so far.
Aww.
There's like no, I want to be able to point to like a big trophy on the shelf or something. So there's the game that I made and I put it out there and 10 people played it. I would feel good about that.
Yeah.
These are going back toward some of the, you know, some of my earliest aspirations. Like, I always wanted to make my own game.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I can really point to this, that I made this, is my website. And not particularly...
You've done, like, the stuff for the museum.
That's not the same. I mean, like, I had to work with other designers that didn't really know how to do interactive.
Yeah.
You know, and there was, like, a very tight budget on it. And, you know, it's not the same.
And your blog, your blog helps people.
Yeah, that's the one thing I feel good about.
Yeah.
The reason why I feel good about that is because it's something that I am being recognized for having made it, I suppose.
Yep.
It's of me. It's not something I worked on for somebody else that people
right.
like. There is a directness. There's an authorship that I can claim.
Right.
And that's probably my ego or my id or whichever one it is. The ego is the moderating function of the id, or is that the super ego? I can't remember.
Huh.
But anyway, so there are things like that that you know are gnawing at me.
Yeah.
And I know the answers intellectually. Effort upon effort upon effort. Yeah, that's really it. And it's, you know, maybe a motivational issue
yeah.
that I'm facing because, you know, I've been putting all this effort into stuff for like years and years and years and years and years. And I don't have that sense of closure or satisfaction.
Yeah.
You know, so like for me, the end point I've defined is like when I get this creative independence thing working to the point where I have money coming in to pay for my basic living expenses, which frees up all my time to pursue other projects. You know, that's the point I want to get to. And it's been the point I've been wanting to get to for the past 4 years. And I haven't been able to close it yet.
Huh.
Every year gets a little bit better. Every year gets a little bit better. You know, I could berate myself and say like, oh, you're not working hard enough, or you're not doing this, or you're being too lazy, or you're too afraid of things. Yeah, but I stopped doing that like years ago.
Yeah.
So like, at the same time, there's no other pressures for me to do that other than ones that come from myself. And it's kind of hard for me to pressure myself. It's hard for a lot of people to pressure themselves. It's, in isolation. You know, if there was like someone else's like destiny was dependent on what I was doing, you know, I might feel a little bit more like urgency.
Right.
The biography of Charles Schulz talks about that. I guess before he got married, he was kind of like a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. But as soon as he got married, he became like very focused on his cartooning.
Huh.
Yeah, because there was a certain role he wanted to live up to, like to be like his dad. He idolized his dad who provided for his family and all his brothers and sisters and things like that. You know, and what do I aspire to? Well, not really a lot of anything.
Spaceships.
That's what it feels like, you know?
But you can't compare yourself to other people.
I'm comparing myself to what I would like to be. I'm not saying like I want to be like that dude, but I'm saying like I would like to have like something that I've created that's of worth, that came of me, and is representative of me.
Right.
And I want to be able to do it on my own initiative, according to standards of excellence that I hold dear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I can't think of anything right now that I really want to do that will. Yeah, that grabs me. And maybe this goes toward like, well, this is just about like slogging, doing the hard work.
Yeah. Yep.
And having faith in the outcome.
Right.
You know, and like you know, I understand I can do all these things, but right now I've lost the faith in that.
Aww.
It's I'm saying that not as a horrible like, you know, oh, woe is me. Yeah, I was just not feeling it. Like, I'm bored. I'm bored of everything that's on my plate.
Right.
But, you know, every once in a while, like, I get excited about something like the new season of Community is out. It's better than the last, what they call the gas leak year. been watching some anime that some other friends are watching, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Alan is watching Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex. And he hasn't been able to get past the first 6 episodes, so I told him which episodes to watch. And so now he's into it. And I realized I wanted a die-cast Tachikoma, which are those spider tanks
yes.
that they have.
Yes.
Those are cool.
Do they make them?
They do. There's a few die-cast ones, but they vary in features and price.
Of course.
So and I want one that doesn't sag under its own weight.
Oh.
So they have like the prices of the die cast ones range from about $149 up to $600.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Those are nice.
Yeah. He also got me like a Yamato 2199 ship model snapped together.
Jealous.
So I had to put it together. So I'm trying to reclaim, I guess, some of those those early childhood kind of like, I'm excited by these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily translate into accomplishing the things that I feel that I'd like to accomplish.
Right. It's a different type of fulfillment.
Yeah. It's almost a distraction, but at the same time, it gives me some sort of energy.
Yep.
So that's what I'm grappling with. I've been blogging about it for the past, few months. It's like preparing for 2014. When Groundhog Day rolls around, that's when I'll set my goals for the year.
Yeah. Was that February?
Yep. February 2nd. February 2nd.
February.
Groundhog Day gives me a month and a day to think about it.
There you go.
Because, like, who's in the shape to think about the new year on January 1st?
Yeah. Screw usually, January just it takes the whole month just to settle in and.
Yeah. You're recovering from the holidays.
Get ready and get, off the.
Catching up from what didn't get done during last year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Give you a chance to eat all your Christmas candy and.
There's Christmas candy?
Oh, there's Christmas candy.
No, I made caramel for the first time.
Oh, that's right.
I was making simple syrup.
Simple syrup.
Yeah, I got another soda maker. This one uses capsules because I'm still trying to make the ultimate soda. I guess I'm not completely bored. Things like this are like a helpful distraction, but they're still a distraction.
Yeah.
I figured maybe the simple syrup will help me make some interesting soda syrups.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, one part sugar to one part water.
Yep.
Or up to two parts sugar to one part water, depending on how, I guess, dense you're making it.
Okay. Now, simple syrup is like that. It's like liquid sugar, right? Like stuff that, like McDonald's has started putting liquid sugar in their drinks and stuff.
Yeah. So you don't have to stir it up. So you don't have to dissolve the sugar granules. It's already absorbed in the water. And it's super sweet, so you just add a dollop of that.
Super sweet.
It's handy to have around. So I made some of that, and I had more than would fit in the jar.
Yeah.
So I said, I wonder what would happen if I kept boiling this. This is how you make candy, right? So So I have an infrared thermometer. You can just point it at whatever you're cooking, and it'll tell you what the temperature is.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured, well, things start burning around 340, 350 degrees. So let me just slowly warm it up. Boil all the water out and then see what happens. And so then around 350 degrees, it starts turning brown. It starts to smell good. It goes like, whoa. And the sun is wicked hot. So you got to be careful. You don't burn yourself on it.
Yep.
So I poured it out and had this caramel candy. I didn't add, it wasn't soft and chewable, but it was like genuine burnt sugar, which was very exciting.
So did you keep any of it? Did you eat any of it?
I actually dissolved it into some iced tea.
Oh. How did that taste?
It tasted slightly like burnt sugar. It was like that candy, cotton candy aftertaste.
Yeah.
So it was good. I had to make caramel simple syrup.
Yeah?
Yeah. Cause
that's what we need here at the studio. We need a cotton candy maker.
And then I'd come in and you'd be like, so Sid, why are you all sticky?
The entire studio would just be filled with cotton candy. You'd walk in and it would just be
Paddington.
That's it. I want a cotton candy machine. Because that's just sugar, right?
Yeah, it's sugar and it has a little heating chamber and spins it up. Yeah, you can buy those things. Oh. I've seen DIY versions on the net too.
Really?
Pick your own cotton candy.
A cotton candy machine. That would be amazing. That would be so amazing.
Yeah, we can also get a shaved ice machine.
Do you? I have one somewhere. Somebody gave it to me. It's not like this. It's not like a super shaved. I have to remember where I did with it now.
Yeah,
it's like one of these little things, and you put ice in there, and you just grind it up.
Oh yeah.
But it was here, but I don't know where it went.
Yep. So I guess that's the.
That was a quick podcast. Half hour.
Yeah. We're just talking.
We're just blabbing. Cool.
Actually went better than I thought it would. I thought we'd run out of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of stuff yesterday when we were having dinner.
Yeah.
Cool.
Now we can go get lunch.
Yes, now we're going to go eat lunch. So I guess
on the logo stuff, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to develop a new mark for myself that's kind of like a maker's mark.
Yep.
A little thing you put in on the stuff that you make.
Yep.
Get them jealous of your stamp.
My stamp? I love my stamp.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, hopefully we'll have... I've got two more stamps coming in next week, so hopefully we can talk about that stuff.
Excellent.
So we'll wrap it up now. So that is going to do it for this week on the week of Monday, January 13th. Until next week, I am photographer Sid Caesar.
Designer Dave Say.
And we will see you guys later. Have a nice week. Music provided by Michael Bellar and the As Is Ensemble. Give him your love at michaelbellar.com. Music not provided by Kentakoga of the Kentakoga Ensemble. Kentakoga. He always gets upset. Like, he always gets nervous if we don't mention his name. He's like, when are they going to mention my name? I think next week we're not going to mention his name until after the music ends.
Right.
All the way to the end. He's going to listen all the way to the end. We'll be like, Kentakoga.
Yeah. Shout out to Robert Pentinen, too. Hope you're feeling
better. Oh, yeah. Hope you're feeling better, Rob. Kentakoga. Bye.